Right, here we go. Right, welcome to 12 Man Podcast live, uninterrupted. Right, let's crack on, let's do this. Got me Steve Jackson, I'm in the main chair. Got a full house tonight, it's great this. Mr. John Cutler's with me, evening Cuts.
Evening gentlemen, we all alright?
We are good, we're good. Rare appearance, Mr. James Algarno's with us. Evening Dally.
No boys, alright?
Yeah, we're good. And live from, I presume, their living rooms. Got Mr. John Donovan. Evening, John Don.
Good evening.
Good evening. Very serious, that. I'll have fries with mine, by the way. And we've got Mr. Steve Dixon as well. Evening, Diggo.
Evening, everyone. All right?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Where's Dally? Is he under the desk? Go and see him.
Got a face for the radio, mate. Not getting on camera tonight.
We leave the camera for the main man, so your mother's quite happy with it.
So John showing off his new tan, so all eyes on John.
Yes, he's looking rather dapper with his new complexion skin.
I'll just say you take compliments for the next 59 minutes if that's what you want to do.
I mean, compliments a strong word, but all right. Yes, so live on Facebook. Get your comments in. We're going to talk Rotherham. Which poses a question: are Rotherham our bogey team? The short answer is yes, but we'll discuss that in a little detail. We'll talk transfer rumours because there's been some funny ones and some, well, not funny ones. Is he going? Isn't he going? I don't know. And then we'll talk a certain trip to the capital tomorrow night. One up. Down to Chelsea, see if we can defend, fight like beavers, as the great Chris Kamara would say.
Beavers?
Yeah, fighting like beavers. So, yes, we'll chat that as well. Get your comments in, get your thoughts in, and we'll chat away. Before I start, are we all alright?
Aye.
Yeah, 100%.
All good, chap.
Yeah, sound.
Sound. Sound. Happy days. Good trip away.
Yeah, very good trip away. Yeah, I'm all refreshed and looking forward to and very nervous about tomorrow night's game.
Are we all?
which I said, I know we'll come onto that. Obviously, we'll touch Rotherham first before we go into the semi-final game.
Yes. Yes, we will. We'll talk Rotherham first. I say Saturday was really frustrating. I'll start with you, Cuts. That team that came out, I was half expecting a couple of rests. Were you expecting that team that was put out?
I didn't mind the team, to be fair. It should have been good enough to get the 3 points. I said last week that I expected a couple of changes. We were talking before we went on the air. Vandenberg apparently was rested, but Housen apparently has got a bit of a niggle, but you can't risk Johnny. He's going to be too important to us for tomorrow, so I thought we had enough in that team to win. We all know we didn't, so it is what it is.
Well, there's a big spoiler. Thanks very much. John Don, do you share the same thoughts as the tanned one?
The team I was happy with, a few changes were made, which thankfully we've got the opportunity to do now with some players returning and is having more options. But overall, I was pleased with the team. I thought was fine, was strong enough. But anyway, I'm not going to spoil it. See what happens there.
No, Cooks has already done that. Don't worry about it. But the one surprise for me was Paddy McNair. Back on the bench, I thought that was a good little addition.
We talked about him a little bit last week, didn't we? So
we did.
He's an experienced pro. It's only good to see him back in the fold and makes us a little bit stronger on that bench.
Yeah.
If we need him to come on tomorrow, then so be it.
Yeah.
I trust him anyway.
I know. It's like he was listening for, actually, I better start putting a few minutes in and getting some sort of deal. If it's not here, I need somewhere away. But
I'm surprised Jones played, if I'm honest with you. I know, but we spoke before, John, about the weekend and with the upcoming, obviously, game on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Especially with that first leg in the semi-final, with Latilaf and Bangura going off, our pace mm-hmm. on the wings. I think I'd have left out Jones is that bit of out ball, you know, the you know, our outlet. But obviously he played, and I'm sure we'll come on to it, he went off a little bit, you know, early into the first half,
I want to talk about that. I'll get your thoughts on the first team first then, Dick. What did you think of the team?
I was reasonably happy with it. I disagree slightly with what Dally's just said there, because I said last week, the worst thing you can do is take your eye off the ball, and your next game is the most important game. And I said last week, you play your strongest team, and you take care of Rotherham, and you get confidence by beating the poor Rotherham side, and you take it into Chelsea. And if you lose to Rotherham, it has the reverse effect on everybody. We didn't quite lose the game, but we'll come close to it. My thoughts on the team were, I was reasonably happy with it. I thought it was a strong enough team to have beaten Rotherham. My only concern was, which was mentioned on the podcast a couple of weeks ago by Graham Bandeira, was my friend Dan Barlasa, who seems to really struggle when he plays in a two in midfield. When he's played in the three, he's looked a better player with more time on the ball. But he was playing in a two, and when I seen Johnny Housen's name not in the team sheet, I was a little bit, you know, oh, we're going to miss that experience in the midfield. And I think that proved yet again that Dan Barlasa, for whatever reason, just doesn't seem to be able to do it when he's playing in a two in the middle. But the team itself, it was more than good enough to beat what is a really poor Rotherham side.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, I was happy with the team. I thought the team was, should have been good enough to win. I mean, we'll start first with what you came on there, Dally, about the. What was John Hugel doing? Like, what was he doing? Like, what possessed him to do what he did? Like, I know, as I suppose, like a big sturdy number nine, you've got to get yourself about a bit, and that's how you get into opponents' faces. But what was the point in that?
I think we're only talking about it because Jones got injured. Look, it happens a million times in a game. Yeah. It was just a freak injury. I don't really blame him. I'd want my forwards doing the same. So,
he's an absolute jinx. Is Jordan Hugel? He always scored against Middlesbrough when he played for different sides, lower league teams. Come scored against win the cup game. He came to Middlesbrough. I didn't want him at Middlesbrough. I thought he was hopeless when we signed him. He came to Middlesbrough. He was hopeless at Middlesbrough. Absolute waste of time. Absolute cart horse. We got rid of him. So then he done what he done. He come back with QPR. He scored against QPR. He last season he was playing for Rotherham. He got Dykesdale sent off. This season he's come back. He's injured Isaiah Jones. The man's a jinx.
Speaks highly of yours, Dick.
I couldn't get him. Do you know what it is? The only positive thing I've ever seen him do in a Middlesbrough shirt was, and I can't remember the game, he scored a penalty at the North Stand and we're getting beat. And the penalty when he scored it, we're still getting beat. And because he had been so poor and not scored a goal, he was celebrating like he'd scored the winner in the FA Cup final. Running around, and I was off my seat going, get the ball and get back off. You're useless, man. Get the ball. And that was the only time he's ever done anything positive for her. But other than that, every time he's turned up against Middlesbrough, he's been a bloody jinx. And he's just one of those players. And on Saturday, he was exactly what he is, a big, useless lump who contributed absolutely nothing to the game, but he still managed to do something, you know, negative against Middlesbrough by pushing Isaiah Jones in the back and injuring one of our best players. And it's just like, this lad's supposed to be a Borough lad, a Borough fan. I think, what's going on with you? He got booed off and he went off, didn't he? What a fella. Can't bear him.
So, listen, reading between the lines here, you don't want us to like make a push to sign him in the January window. Is that right?
I'd rather play myself, to be honest. He's absolutely useless, isn't he? But for whatever reason, against Middlesbrough, he always has a say in the game, either a sending off, a goal, an injury. Yet when he come to Middlesbrough, he couldn't hit a cow's you-know-what with a banjo, could he? He was bloody useless.
I tell you what, though, that ball he played for Caffel with the outside of his foot was sublime, wasn't it? It was a belt and assist, that, to be fair. I couldn't believe it was him.
I know. He pulls.
That's something he's only ever thought about in his dreams, playing a ball to somebody called Caffel, isn't it?
Cafu.
Yeah, me. Useless he is.
Well, since you brought
anyway,
it,
that's my rant.
You went all Roy Keane on us there.
I know. All we were missing there was do your job.
I think John went for a shower.
Yeah, he put the immersion on. But my, wow. Well, since you brought it up, we might as well talk about the goal. Their goal. It was a cracking ball, but you've got to look at the back line there. We looked all over the shop. Dale Fry got pulled out.
There's a first.
Here's John's rant.
Here we go. Rant number two's coming.
Sit back, boys.
Yeah, get comfy. Keep that immersion on, John.
No, it was poor goal to concede, but you know, if we'd have scored a goal like that, our centre forward playing a ball like that, yeah, it's top quality. And it was a nice finish by the lads, you know what I mean? So, but from our point of view, absolutely terrible.
It wasn't great, was it?
No.
It was the easiness of how they just went straight through us. That really, really annoyed me.
I thought we started the first half pretty well. I thought we
played. Oh, we're missing was a goal.
Played at half decent pace. Yeah. We didn't have the focal point. And we've talked about it in the past. I don't know why Force isn't starting as a centre forward, because for me, Rodgers or Greenwood are not centre forwards. So he's our next best option when Josh and Lath are injured for me. So we're here and we praise Michael Carrick plenty of times, and so maybe he'll even admit it himself. He might have got it wrong on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean Corbyn was on the bench as well, wasn't he? So
I think he'll start tomorrow, definitely.
Mm. I don't think he got it wrong to start with. The team he picked was okay, but as the game unfolded, last week I gave Michael Carrick, as I have done recently, he's done brilliant with his changes in change of tactics and his substitutions. He's really upped his game, because I've said on here many, many times, if I've got a criticism of Michael, it's that he leaves things, either substitutions or to change his tactics too late in the game, and his plan B seems to always come too late. And I thought the starting lineup was fine, but it was quite evident at half time that was struggling to break them down, and the reason was because we had nobody up front that could hold the ball up and bring others into play, and we had some great players to bring into play who were all playing poorly because of that reason. And he never changes at half time anyway, so I didn't expect him to, but I thought when it got to sort of 55-60 minutes, he needed to be bringing on Josh Coburn, he needed to be bringing on Matt Crooks, and he left it too late to bring them on. And what was really frustrating was both of them, when they come on the pitch, had big impacts in the game, and Rotherham struggled to deal with both of them. And I think if the game had went on another 10 minutes, I think we would have won the game. And as I say, I think if Michael Carrick looks back on it, all managers make mistakes and he's no different. If he looks back on it, I think he would admit that he should have brought both of them on earlier.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get any luck though, did we? I mean, Matt Clark missed a couple of decent chances from corners. You know, I thought at least one of them should have found the target. We had half decent penalty appeals. You know, it wasn't our day. We didn't play well, but I was just praying for a win under any circumstances. We all like to win fairly comfortably and with a little bit of nice visual play, but sometimes you just have to grind out results. At the end of it, I was more than happy to get something from the game.
Yeah, it got to a point where I thought we you know, a point would be disappointing, but you know, we're gonna have to take something here. We can't lose again to these.
Yeah, for me, we should have had a penalty as well, and I've seen it back, and then he pulls his shirt back, so it's a penalty all day long for me. That I don't know how he's missed it.
I mean, the Coburn goal as well, let's be honest, for me, what I've watched it back, and I think I don't think Crooks is offside. I don't think Crooks touches the ball. Josh Coburn's a yard and a half onside, puts it away. So that was a huge moment in the game, and one that should have won Middlesbrough the game, and deservedly so won Middlesbrough the game. But what I would say is I'm getting a little bit bored now of this typical Borough, you know, thing that seems to go on and on and on, regardless if we change managers or we change players. I was in the pub before the game and everybody was talking about it. You know, It'll be typical of Borough. We'll probably not beat Rotherham today and we'll go and beat Chelsea, or we'll get through against Chelsea. And everybody's talking about it. And you think, well, surely not again. Surely we're going to be better than that. Surely the players, the management know this and they're not going to take the eye off the ball. This is a Rotherham side that it hasn't won away from home in 26 games, which is now 27 games. They've only won one of the last 16 games, which was against Middlesbrough. And you're thinking, we need to get these 3 points to push into the playoffs. It's a huge game. Well, surely we're not going to take our eye off the ball again and become typical Middlesbrough again. But yet again, we did. And I found it was really frustrating. It wasn't good enough. There was big players in that team, in Hackney, Barlasa, Greenwood, Izaz, who for me just didn't turn up. They didn't look bothered. There was too many people on that pitch that just didn't put the effort in for me. There were some players that clearly did, like Sir Matt Clark, you could see. But there was too many players way below the levels, not given the all for that team on Saturday. And for whatever reason, it was another typical Middlesbrough moment. And I wish we could stop this sort of thing at the club, because fans seem to talk about it, the typical Borough, and laugh about it. And it's, oh yeah, that's what Middlesbrough do. Well, we need to stop it. Let's reverse that trend. When we're playing the bottom teams, let's beat them. I mean, that's Queen's Park Rangers, that's Rotherham twice, and who else is in the bottom three? We haven't beaten any of the bottom three. Those points would have us sitting, what, fourth or fifth in the table? Yet we're adrift down in 11th, you know, it's not good enough.
The one thing I will say, Steve, I don't think it was down to a lack of effort. I think sometimes you just get games where things don't go right, and all right, we're picking it up about teams that are in the lower half of the league, but I disagree that it was due to lack of effort, because if them players went out on Saturday and thought, oh, I'm just going to toss it off today, then if they've got an ounce of intelligence about them, they would be thinking, if I toss it off today, I won't be starting in a massive game on Tuesday night. I don't think it was a lack of effort.
It's a lack of quality. Maybe some of my words are wrong. Because I watched under 21 at the National here in Hackney, and Dan Barlasa knocking the ball out the play, left, right and centre, going sideways and backwards against the team who are bottom. Just a second, John, I'm coming in a second. Against the bottom team in the league. These are absolutely rubbish. Yeah. They're bottom for a reason. They haven't won 27 games. And we've got England's under 21 midfielder in Dan Barlasa, who we've signed from Rotherham. He was their best player in the middle of the park. They couldn't pass from me to you. They're knocking the ball out of play time and time again, going sideways and backwards. There was no focal point up front. Sam Greenwood, Izaz, dreadful displays on his home debut. Awful display on his home debut. Against the worst team in the league, they will be relegated this season. And you know, when I come on last week against Millwall, full of praise, said how good they were, brilliant result, brilliant by Michael Carrick. But on Saturday, it just wasn't good enough. The only, you know, saving grace was, like you said, John, was that we nicked an equaliser and didn't actually get beat. Because can you imagine if we had lost going into tomorrow night against Chelsea? The fans going down there would have been flat. I'm not so sure. If we had lost to Rotherham, I don't think it would have been a great deal of hope going down to Stamford Bridge after losing to Rotherham, mind. Unless I'm living on the moon.
You watched the game Saturday. It wasn't a lack of effort. You saw.
I said I was wrong. Maybe quality then. Quality.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yes, it was. It was some of our players had terrible displays, but it definitely was not a lack of effort. It was a lack of ideas. We just couldn't break down their two banks of four. You know, they spoilt the game. They slowed everything down. They came out the second half, you know, 10 minutes after us, and it was niggly. It never got any flow. We never got any momentum, and that was their game plan. Fair play to them. Fair play, because
but we know that, don't we?
They're desperate for points. Yes, and we couldn't, and we had nothing on the day. We had nothing on the day to sort of like to get through that. We didn't have the nous. We didn't have the creativity. We had the ability, but we just didn't perform on the day. Like I say, I don't think it was a lack of effort, and I know you've just sort of like corrected yourself. But I do think, on the day we lacked the quality, the creativity, and the inventiveness to to break them down. We just couldn't do that. Well, but saying that, we had enough chances. We had enough chances to be in the lead by half time. Again, we didn't take them. That's not the manager's fault. That's the players on the pitch.
Well, Lee Fisher's made a good point actually on Facebook. He's maybe the words would be tentative approach, that maybe the players didn't want to get injured before such a big game coming up. And you know,
that is
quite possible. It's a good point by Lee, to be fair.
It is a good point, but that's what I was saying last week. It shouldn't happen. You don't take your eye off the next game. The next game's the most important game. You're going for your challenge. When you pull out the challenges and you're tentative, that's when you get injured. You've got to play every game at 100% intensity. And if you get injured, so be it. But you don't take your eye off the ball. And that was my worry before the game. And it unfolded like that. And like I say, the only bonus was we didn't actually get beat, which would have been, for me, an absolute disaster going into the Chelsea game, confidence-wise. So thankfully, we didn't get beat. And we can regroup and hopefully try and, you know, do something tomorrow night to galvanise the town. And even if we get beat tomorrow night, let's put in a display that makes us all proud of them, because nobody left the Riverside on Saturday night proud of them.
Same result tomorrow, be a different story, won't it?
Of course it will.
Exactly, yeah. Dally, why, when you won last week, you always take 1-1. You know, we could have had a head.
I know. That's the first thing I thought of, actually. I thought, oh, God, we'd have had 1-1 as well. But, we might, yeah, we'll end on a bit of a cheery note, because, you know, you just dragged it right in the mud, a lot of you, right? Forces goal was well took, wasn't it?
What a touch by Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
That is world class, by the way.
Is that one of the things you look at and think, ah, that's why he's getting looked at?
Listen, he's got obvious qualities. Mm. Now, I don't know if we're going to touch on it later, but...
We're going to touch on it in about 2 minutes, mate.
I'll leave it for then. But that is why clubs like Aston Villa are looking at him, because he has got that X factor where he can just, out of nothing, we didn't look like creating or scoring a goal. That touch, if it had been in the Premier League, would have been repeated on Sky Sports News over and over and over again. It was world class, superb.
Look like a pop star.
And that's what Dally brings to the table.
I'll be back on in 3 weeks, lads.
Why, well, we've got another big game.
Yeah.
The guy scores goals, force. I'll go back to, I know we'll talk about Rodgers in a couple of minutes, but force scores goals, isn't he?
I've always liked force, mate. His work rate is phenomenal. Never ever can you, one accusation you can't have against him, his work rate every game is spot on. His attitude's amazing. Yeah. I've got a lot of time for him, and players of that ilk at this football club, so no complaints.
He's honest. He's an honest player, you know. Yeah. He gives you everything. He might not be, he might not be the best, but what you'll get out of him is honesty, and he'll never stop trying. And sometimes you want all your players to have that work rate, to have that honesty. And I'm glad he's come back. You know, because it just gives us another option.
Same.
Agree.
Guy scores goals. Yeah, not bad for a development player.
Brilliant finish as well. He's got the habit as well of beating people and goalkeepers at the near post, because for all the world behind the goal, the north stand, you should have been putting it across the goalkeeper at the bottom corner. But he's done this quite a few times for Middlesbrough. He's got such power in his shot and such accuracy. He often beats goalkeepers at the near post, and you couldn't blame the keeper for the goal. It was a brilliant finish. Mm. And like you said, you know, going back to my point before, and I apologise to Marcus Force, he does always give 100% every game. And I wish everybody put the effort in that Marcus Force puts in. He's not the best on the eye, like John was saying. He's quite robotic. He's quite manufactured the way he plays. But every game, he's up and down there. He's quick. He gets stuck in. The players who are marked him know they're in the game. And he comes up, you know, quite often with important goals in games at important times. And I think if we do manage to do anything tomorrow night, I think Marcus Force will be involved in it.
Yeah, I agree with that. The guy's class. The guy, I think he could hold the ball as well. He's got a bit of He's got a bit of a physique behind him as well. He's got a bit of strength on him, so I think he probably could hold that ball up and get the runners round him, like Rodgers, you know. I was going to say like Jones, but I very much doubt he's going to be there tomorrow night. But,
so. And you see how hard he works, though, playing wide. I'd love to see him working Thiago Silva and whoever else they have at centre-half, running behind them and dragging them all over the place tomorrow. I'd love to see him start centre-forward tomorrow, I really would.
Yeah, I said it, I was either last week or the week before, do what Karanka didn't do with Stuani, bring him inside, bring him as your number nine. They say use him because I think he'll score even more goals. I think he'll be more valuable.
He's a clever footballer as well. If he played centre forward, his runs off the ball would be bringing our wingers and the player behind the forward. I've got a lot of time for him, mate.
Yeah, I have. Right, I'll quickly get your man in the matches then. I'll start with you, Cut.
Matt Clark.
I think
he was head and shoulders above everyone else.
Even though he's bald. Right. John Don. Come here.
Sorry, I didn't hear the question, Steve.
Man of the match.
Matt Clark.
Okay. Diggo?
Yeah, full house. I agree with the boys. Matt Clark put in a really committed display, which, as I say, was sadly lacking.
I'm gonna go Marcus Forrest. That's called the goal. You know what I mean? He worked his ass off all game. I can't knock that. I'll never knock that. Right, there you go. That's that bit done. Go on.
So just quickly before we moved on, three was there, said Matt Clark. Now, I think we've looked almost solid when Clark and Vandenberg have played centre-half in the last two months. That's what I'd go with tomorrow. I know I'll probably put me out on it that you would say different, but I would start Vandenberg and Clark at centre half tomorrow.
I'd start all three. It's obvious we're going to start with the three, I think, tomorrow. I think that's the obvious one.
I'll be amazed if we don't start on the back three tomorrow. We worked against Villa, we worked against Chelsea at home.
Yeah.
Because we've got lack of options now in the forward areas, and obviously looking like Isaiah Jones is going to be missing, I think Middlesbrough haven't got much option other than to try and make it difficult for Chelsea. So I'll be amazed if we don't start with the back three.
Stick that back five in and just say to them, you have a go. Because, ironically, the display we put in Saturday, we'll probably do with tomorrow. Bit frustrating, bit just grab the ball in the middle of the park and do whatever with it and not really threaten the goal. That's what we need. But, it's got to be a back five tomorrow for me. Right, quickly, transfer news. Morgan Rodgers is the big one, isn't it? I'll put it on to you because obviously you mentioned this.
Let's be honest, the model that this club's got, if we get offered £10 million for him, for a player that's been here for 6 months, one, we can't stand in his way. The third or fourth, second, whatever they are in the Premier League. Is he from Birmingham as well originally?
Yeah, he's a Birmingham lad, yeah.
There you go. How do we stand in his way? So if we get a £10 million fee, fair play to the lads who scouted him. Yes, we'll give, 35% he said to Manchester City, but we'll still be making a few million pounds in a couple of months. If they're interested, he's going to go, isn't he, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, and you also look at, that's the model of our club now, isn't it? That's what we were told.
For the right money, don't let them pull our pants down.
Quite, yeah.
Which we won't. But
I've got full faith that we won't have that happen anymore. Mm. I really do.
I think, like you say, the deal's got to be right for the club as well. You know, we've got biggest game, you know, for such a long time, 20 years, you know, biggest game that we've had in such a long time tomorrow night. Mm. And there's all this speculation going on. The conversation needs to be had with him, or you'd think it's already been had with him. I think that if the deal's right, get a bit of money for him and get him loaned back for the rest of the season. Mm. I think on this one, I watched him early on when he came in. There must be something there. Obviously, he was at Manchester City, but they've let him come to us for £1 million. I think that's what the figure that's being branded around in the undisclosed fee. Watching him in the early part of him being here, you could tell he played under 21 football. And I know he'd had a spell at Blackpool, and I think he'd had a spell at Bournemouth as well.
West Brom as well.
Yeah, but I think watching him. For me, you can tell how good of a coach that Michael Carrick is, because I think Michael, in the early games of watching him, I couldn't see what was there.
Mm.
But watching how he's progressed under Carrick in a space of 5 months.
Mm.
I don't know. I think if we can get money loaning back for the rest of the season, then we can put plans in place for next season. That would be a deal. I think that I would maybe it would be easier to swallow.
Yeah, I think I think Michael Carrick did really well today in the press, because he just basically came out and said, didn't he? He will be involved against Chelsea tomorrow. No, he saw, but there was no. Well, I don't know. I'll have to have a word, see what's going on. That was definitive. That's a good coach for me. That's the stance. Leave it. Move on. We've got a game to get on with. You know what I mean? So, yeah,
we've got nobody else to play though, really, to be fair. So he's always going to play. But I would say is the model of the club moving that way is fine if we're going to bring players in and sell them on. But if you're looking at if he's actually good enough to play for a top four team in Aston Villa, then we're going to sell him, and Man City are going to get a sell on clause. And we're only going to make £3 or 4 million off him. Is that really the model of the club? Because the model of the club is also to get promoted to the Premier League. And if Morgan Rodgers is one of our best players, I would be saying, we'll park it. You stay for the season. If Aston Villa rate you and you continue to do what you're doing and score goals and get us into the playoffs, your value is only going to increase. Aston Villa have got plenty of money. They'll still be there for you in the summer. You go in the summer. You've only been here 6 months. You've signed a 4-year contract for Middlesbrough Football Club. I think now it's all almost like too easy now. It's like there's no loyalty anymore. It's just like, oh, well, the Premier League team want our player. I've just got to let them go. Well, you actually don't have to let them go. You can play hardball if you want and say, in the summer, if you do the job for us and get us to the playoffs and improve your value, and Aston Villa still want you, we'll have a conversation then. But at the moment, we need you because we're not scoring goals, we've got an injury crisis, we've got no strikers, and we need you here. And you signed a 4-year commitment to this club. I mean, if they come in and bid 20 million, then there's a different conversation. But for me, if Middlesbrough are only going to make £3 or 4 million, what's that going to do for Middlesbrough now till the end of the season? It's chicken feed.
Put it another way,
like Dally said, if you get him loaned back and get a decent fee, maybe. The other side of it is, if you sell Morgan Rodgers and you've got a striker lined up, because like I've said many times, if we don't sign a striker this window, I don't think we're going up anyway. If you've got a striker lined up and Morgan Rodgers releases money and funds to bring in a striker, then that might be an option, because we have got players that can cover for Morgan Rodgers, like when Silveira comes back and McGree comes back and Azaz is signed. So maybe we can do without him if we sign a striker. But we can't afford, if we've got any ambitions of getting to the playoffs or the Premier League, to let Morgan Rodgers go for £3 or 4 million profit and not bring in a striker. No way. That, to me, that shows lack of ambition.
So a quick question then, just yes or no from you. If Aston Villa bid £10 million for Morgan Rodgers on Wednesday morning, would you accept it, yes or no?
Yeah.
Dicko?
No.
John?
Probably yes, because I think, it's difficult to keep a player who's interested in the move. It's difficult to keep him happy. It means the club have made some money despite the sell-on clause. I mean, when you think about it, we got 10 million for Tavernier, and Tavernier was a far more influential player in our
15,
team.
15, wasn't it? 15
at the time.
Tavernier, wasn't he?
No, 10.
I think it was 15 Tavernier. It was 12 million plus add-ons, but took the 15 million, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay, I'll stand corrected. But like I said, to get 10 million for him, he's got bags of potential. I would probably, yes, if it was a 10 million deal, then yes, I would probably take it.
The reverse question to that for you lads is, for me, if we're selling for 10 million now and we don't sign anybody, a striker in this window, and Morgan Rodgers goes to Aston Villa and next season he breaks into the Aston Villa team and he's scoring a few goals and potentially sort of England are looking at him, because he's only 21 years old and he's doing well at Aston Villa and he's creating chances and scoring a few goals in the Premier League. How much is he going to be worth then? And then does it look a good deal what Middlesbrough let him go after 6 months for £9-10 million for a profit of £3 or £4 million?
I think a couple of bits of that. I think it depends on your negotiation and the deal. So do you get bonuses? Do you get sell-on clauses, etc., etc.? If he goes on to play for England, fantastic, brilliant, good for him. You know, that's absolutely, you know, it's been some achievement. At this stage,
that'll be written in the deal, though, won't it?
Yeah, and it's all about the negotiation. I think going back to what John asked was the question: Wednesday morning, there's a deal on the table. A big one for me is: are we in the final? Because if you to go out and buy a striker who can play in that fixture, who's not cup tied, who is going to be capable of doing a job, that's going to cost you an inflated price because you're in the January transfer market. What you've got to think is Aston Villa are coming in looking at the Championship because they're under financial fair play issues and they're not looking abroad. So, you know, I did say that if it was myself, you know, if we get a good fee and we get him loaned back, but like he's touched on, he's got a 4-year deal. We don't have to do business, but let's just see where it ends up.
I think it helps Villa with the English players because he's English as well. It's another English player on the squad, which helps him as well. But as I say, for me, Middlesbrough should, you know, really be quite cool on this. If we think he's going to be the difference between us making the playoffs or not, you tell Morgan Rodgers you've signed a 4-year deal. We'll look at it in the summer. Go out there, score some more goals, get your value up, and Aston Villa will be there in the summer because they've got the Premier League money. And not just Aston Villa, maybe some other teams will be looking as well.
I think the club have been cool about it. They've declined 3 offers, haven't they?
Yeah, that's what I said about Carrick as well. You basically put a line in between you there and just said, it'll be here for the game tomorrow. Leave it.
Yeah.
Done. Stop talking about it. Move on.
Until there's a bid accepted, there's nothing for Michael to talk about.
Exactly.
To be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're sat here as fans. Yeah. We can discuss speculation. Yeah. We can discuss what we would do. But Michael doesn't need to because that's not part of his job, remit.
Mm. Exactly.
But Dicko, you painted a picture there of him going to Villa and doing really well. The opposite could happen. You know, we've seen Jed Spence, you know, have a great loan spell at Forest. And then go to Tottenham, and he's too busy lighting cigars. You know, it hasn't worked. So yeah,
I agree,
the opposite might happen to Morgan Rodgers.
You look at Morgan Rodgers as he looks a decent character, not like Jed Spence.
No, I'm talking about ability though. Jed Spence looked as though he had the ability. Jed Spence was a very good player. Warnock didn't like his attitude, so he loaned him. He done very well at Forest. They loved him, but Morgan Rodgers could go on to do well, but then again he might not. We don't know. It's all hypothetical. The deal will get done if it suits our club.
With the greatest respect to Morgan Rodgers as well here, for the start of the season, the bulk of it, he started as a centre forward, but once all our players were fit, would any of us put him in our first starting 11 at that point? No. Has he done really well in the last six weeks?
Yeah.
I think he's improved massively. Mm-hmm. But I think £10 million for someone who was, let's be honest, he was a bit part player at this football club. I think £10 million is a good deal for where we're at the moment at this football club. Like I thought it was a good deal for Spence at the time. Yeah. I didn't for Tavernier because you lads know I used to rave about Tav.
See what Tav's done as well. Now he looks the real deal, doesn't he?
But I just think if they bid £10 million, I think it's a lot of money for us to turn down for a player that's only been here for 6 months. And
but he's got a good reputation in the game. He's had huge potential. Man City took him from West Brom, but I think it was for £4 million. So they could see his potential in Man City to do that and invest in him and take him from West Brom. And it hasn't worked out for Man City, but now he's playing week in, week out. You can see the quality, and he's getting better and better by the week. He's really improving his game. And I'm not saying Middlesbrough shouldn't sell him. I'm saying we should only sell him if it suits the club.
Mm.
And also, if we do sell him, we need to replace him quickly because if we don't, we're going to struggle to make that top six. So you'd be a big loss.
What's the lowest price you would accept then, Diggo?
For Morgan, I would personally, I would be saying I want 15 million. And if you don't like it, we'll talk about it again in the summer. The only difference I would say is, if, like I keep saying, if Middlesbrough could bring in a decent striker for the Morgan Rodgers profit that would make on him, and replace him with a striker that could maybe propel him into the Championship playoffs because of the goals he would bring, because we're all struggling at the moment, that might be a way of doing it, and I wouldn't be too upset if they did that, because I do think we can replace Morgan Rodgers, not saying we've got better players in him, but we've got lots of options in that position with Silveira and McGree and Greenwood and Azaz, so and Jones. Okay. So I think we could cover for him, but only if we bring a striker in, because that's the key. If we don't bring a striker in and let Morgan Rodgers go, to me, that just signals that to me that Middlesbrough Football Club has said we're not that bothered about getting
£15 million, did you say?
Yeah.
Have you banged your head? We didn't get that for Akpom.
Right. I hear what you're saying, right? But this lad isn't 29 like Akpom.
He scored 29 goals.
This I believe Akpom's 29 going on 30. This lad is 21-year-old.
Owls coming
at Man City. He's got a big reputation as a top prospect in the game. He's only 21 years of age. He's doing well for Middlesbrough in the Championship. Aston Villa are sitting second, or were sitting second in the Premier League. If he's good enough to play for Aston Villa, he's worth £15 million.
See, I partially agree with what Steve's saying here, because if you look at the price we got off Tottenham for Spence, we all knew he wasn't worth anywhere near that. Premier League clubs now buy players on potential and what they possibly can do. Is it a risk? Yes, it's a massive risk for Aston Villa. But they do it. So, look, we all know Gibbo's not going to roll over for them. He'll get the best possible deal we can out the club. Do I think we'll get 15 million? I don't. What did Archie go to Sheffield United for? Was it about 17, 18 million? And he banged in goals left, right and centre and had a brilliant season, or half a season for us. Like I say, we'd all love 15 million. I don't see that price really, but let's hope we can get it.
I'd love blonde hair.
Go higher, go home. Go higher, go home, Gary.
it doesn't bring anything, it brings the laughs, doesn't it? Right, there you go.
Dally, we love your ginger. You know,
it's Sunset Brown.
Was there any other transfer rumours anyone seen? Anyone had seen anything else?
Yeah, Dally's gone blonde.
I can't even add to that. But yeah. I'm stopped. Right, we'll move on.
Dally's gone all Bamford on us.
Of course, yeah.
Right. We've avoided enough. Let's talk about it. Right, tomorrow night.
Something happening tomorrow night?
Yeah. I'll be having a heart attack at least three times on the way on that motorway down to London. This is, I mean, you alluded to earlier, Dally. Biggest game in 20, I'd say at least since.
Since UEFA Cup final?
Yeah. Since UEFA Cup final for me.
Is it bigger than Coventry? For me, it's not.
No.
Coventry was bigger.
Coventry was huge.
It's about getting the Premier League. It's a massive game. Look, let's
cup wise, cup game.
Oh, it's huge.
Cup game.
I've tried not to think about tomorrow, and we've come in now and we're going to discuss it.
Yeah,
I'll wake up in the morning for work. I'll be like a dog with two tails. I'll be so excited thinking about what we can possibly do. We know what this football club's all about. Mm. We're massive underdogs, 10-1 to even get a win. Can we go there? We all know this football club can surprise us. And imagine us tomorrow night if we can just do it. Let's believe we can do it. Why not? No one give us a chance in the home leg. Let's go there and do a job and have a nice day out at Wembley. Maybe bring some more silverware back. Who knows?
It will be something else. If we can go there tomorrow and do a job. Yeah, I can't even think. I can't even imagine it.
Listen, their fans are not happy with what they're seeing. If we can go there and keep it tight for half an hour, they're going to be on their backs. And we've got a chance on the counter. Let's just hope we can do that, because if we go there and concede a goal early, it's going to be flat, isn't it?
But he's come out with it, hasn't he, Pochettino? He said he's got another two injuries, and Kent Crew's definitely out again.
Bless him.
Gusto's definitely out. And all of a sudden he's taking us serious. You know, it was comments before the first game were a bit, we'll play who's in front of us, but we fully expect to do the job. We'll do this, we'll do that. all of a sudden we're a decent side, you know, we're a massive club, we're this, that and the other. He's running scared. Because for Chelsea, this is their biggest week of the season. They could lose out in two competitions and that's it.
I think the more embarrassing thing is we're a championship club. You know, I think if you, they've got Aston Villa at the weekend, a Premier League club, so if they got beat against them, then it's a team in the same league who are currently flying in the Premier League. Yeah. But we're a mid-table championship team at the moment who've just drawn with Rotherham, with all due respect to them, we've just drawn with Rotherham. Did the atmosphere maybe catch them out? You know, we in that first leg, you know, everybody was up for it. We had a fantastic performance. Mm-hmm. You know, they missed some chances.
They did.
And I think, you know, that's right. Why, you know, what with John saying there, we're 10-1 to win tomorrow. You know, let's
and to put it in perspective, rightly so. Let's face it, right. I mean, we're not going to come on here and say, yeah, we deserve to be, you know, level headed with them. But on a 90-minute display, they should be beating us 3-4, 5-0. They should be.
Nobody outside of this football club expects us to go through. Nobody. Even though we're winning 1-0. But that's when we're at our best, this football club.
Yeah.
That's why we love the club so much.
And we're not even full strength, though. Let's be honest, if we're full strength, even, we would still be thinking we're massive underdogs, even if we were full strength. I thought the day, and I don't know what you boys think, if we happen to get through tomorrow night to the final, or even, dare I say, beat Chelsea, we've had some magnificent sort of upsets over the years following the Borough, whether it be against Manchester United in the Cups or Man City in the FA Cup. And you go back through the years beating some of the big, Arsenal, beat the Arsenal Invincibles to get to the final when we won in Cardiff in 2004. Now, I honestly think if we beat Chelsea or get through against Chelsea tomorrow, that would be Middlesbrough's greatest ever upset in our history, certainly since I've been around. Yeah. I mean, we haven't beat Chelsea in my lifetime. We haven't beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. We haven't beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge since the 22nd of March, 1975. I mean, I don't know if John can remember that, but I can it because I wasn't even born. But we, you know, for us to go there. With the finances that they've got and the players they've got on the pitch, hundreds millions of pounds of players. If we beat them tomorrow night, I get through tomorrow night, I think that'll be Middlesbrough's right up there, if not the best ever giant killing by Middlesbrough Football Club.
It'll be the best. It'll be the best result in this club's history. We've spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, Dick. Well, if we get through over two legs, it's the best result in this club's history.
I think it also show this is Poch's job on the line. I think if we go there and win tomorrow, he could get the boot. He really could get the boot.
I don't blame him. He's getting players bought for him, left, right, and centre. He's not picking the players.
Who
cares if he gets sacked? He'll be getting paid off, like we discussed about.
That's what I'm saying. All the pressure is on them. 100%. We've got absolutely no pressure.
Rodgers might get an 8-year contract at Chelsea after this.
But
15 million, Dele, eh?
14 and a half.
14.
12 and add-ons. But, I mean, we'll be heading down that motorway tomorrow, John Don. And, I mean, yeah, I'm going to feel the nerves the closer we get to London. But we've literally got nothing to lose tomorrow. We've got nothing to lose. I'll be proud of them lads, no matter what tomorrow, no matter what, because to get this far is something else.
Yeah, you have to be, because everybody who was there on that Tuesday night at the Riverside played their part in a memorable game. The atmosphere was superb. Obviously, it went up immensely after we scored, but we all the way through the second half we carried the team forward, you know, we give them the energy from the stands, and that's something we can do tomorrow. You know, there's only just under 5,000 of us, but we can give the team the energy and the support, and even if things sort of like go against us, we're not out of it until the final whistle blows. Or we're at Wembley when that final whistle blows, so we keep on supporting them no matter what.
Yeah.
I think I've been thinking about it all day, because it's always been on my mind. But I haven't been worried, and I agree with what you say there, Jacko. It's a no pressure game really, because everybody's expecting Chelsea to go through. But let's go there and cause that upset.
Yeah.
It's one thing that's guaranteed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Those 5,000 fans that will go in there and sing from minute one to minute 95. Every player on that pitch will give everything, blood, sweat and tears for that football club. And win, lose or draw tomorrow, we've had some run. So every one of them players can come off and deserves to be applauded no matter what the result is tomorrow. Because I'm certainly proud of them for making the semi-final.
Massively proud. Massively proud.
It's a free hit, like you're saying. Everybody's expecting them to get probably good hiding tomorrow. The chances are, you know, if Chelsea create the chances they created at the Riverside, they won't be missing them tomorrow night. We are severely weakened with the players we've got missing. If Isaiah Jones is missing again, it's another string to our bow gone. It's going to be a really tough ask.
Wouldn't have played him at
the
weekend.
I think all the supporters that are going down understand that.
Yeah.
And so if it doesn't go well for Middlesbrough, I'm sure the players will get 100% back, and like John says, from minute one to minute 95, because they deserve it. And as long as, you know, they go there and get stuck in and try the best, that's all we can hope for. And anything above that for me is a bonus.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, the players should leave everything on the pitch, and the fans should leave everything in the stands. Just let's all pull together and just see what we can achieve.
Well, that's it. Because we haven't got a game at the weekend. We've got no game at the weekend. After Chelsea, we've got... Is it 11-day break? Mm. Yeah. Well, 12-day.
The Mackens are next, don't they?
12-day break before the Mackens.
The 4th of February.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mackens, 4th of February.
You know what I mean? So it's not a case of, we haven't got the legs now for the weekend. We don't need the legs for the weekend. This is it. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I can't even stress how big this game is. I can't. Like... I'm going to be an absolute wreck going down to... I may have to take two bottles of Jager tomorrow just to get me through. But it's going to be some day for the fans. And I know you know, there was some put out on Saturday, but I know we did it for the first leg, but if you've got a scarf, kick it with you tomorrow. You know, there's going to be a lot of blue ones to display tomorrow for them. If we can get them to look to the left-hand side of the goal, you know what I mean, and see red, just full red. You know what I mean? From all of us. You know, that's a good to play something just to... Yeah. You know, if they can be bothered to get down here on a Tuesday night.
It's guaranteed, like I said. The fans and the players will give everything tomorrow.
We have to. I mean, yeah. I just hope that Johnny Howson's pulls through. I can imagine if he's going to pull through, because all that Carrick said was that it's a bit of a niggling training. We're just having a look at it. That is basically, I don't want him at the weekend. Stay there.
The club have been very quiet about every injury.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me on the back of it that if they'd said to him, have the weekend off, we'll just say you've had a niggle.
Yeah.
Well,
he still haven't said anything about Bangura and Latin, have they, really? Nothing massive has come out about that. Still waiting for...
He said Latin's out, didn't he? Definitely out of the game tomorrow. Yeah. He said in his press conference that Latin's out for a few weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I forgot about
what Bangu.
Go on, John.
I was just to say, Bangu has got a bit of a long term one, so yeah, there's no chance of him or Latia Lath, you know.
Oh, God, absolutely.
Yeah. No Jones either, but you know what? It's out of adversity comes strong characters, and you know, we all have to be strong characters tomorrow. It's going to be tough. They're going to throw everything at us, and they've got quality. I just hope we get a really strong referee who doesn't fall for their gamesmanship all match long, you know. So I know, fingers crossed we get there.
I know you always have a bit of go at me for getting too far ahead myself, but imagine a week on Sunday against Sunderland at home, 30 odd thousand fans in there banging out Que Sera, and then we smash Sunderland. Oh my God.
I know you don't get too far ahead, but you were on about going to bloody Gothenburg on away in Europe next year, weren't you?
Just imagine that, lads. Like I say.
Well, the referee on tomorrow night is John Brooks. So there you go. It's a Premier League referee. Obviously, no VAR, because, you know, it wasn't in the first leg. And they consider that a bit of a disadvantage with us being in the Championship, which is good. But, yeah, this. I can't even describe how big this game is. This is it, isn't it? You know,
it's a big game for this football club.
Massively.
What's good, it puts you on the map again as well. We're right in the national media, on the TV, in the papers, on Sky Sports, getting big coverage for the football club and the supporters. So there's nothing negative about it. It's a positive for the football club.
Absolutely right.
The boss was at Sky. He'll want Chelsea in the van. They won't want Middlesbrough. I don't know what influence that might have, if any. But all I'm saying is, you know, they're gonna toss themselves off over Chelsea in the build up.
I think
just hope we can put a spanner in the works.
I think Westminster Council are hoping that it's Chelsea and not Middlesbrough for the old Trafalgar Square. Yeah.
I know. Right, I'll let you do your predictions, and then I'll put one more little battle cry out, and then
I'm going to go for Rodgers 1-0.
Jacko, let me go before Dele. Go through them, but let me go before Dele.
Yeah, I'll go Rodgers 1-0. He's been linked with a move away. He's going to get the win at tomorrow.
Get to win and get 15 million.
go on, John Donald. I'll go to you next then.
1-1. Vandenberg.
Vandenberg, there you go. Dicko?
I'm going to go 2-1 Chelsea, Matt Clark. It's going to penalties, boys.
Oh, you can poke her off. Right, I'm not dealing with that.
I've just got a feeling it's going to penalties, I don't know why.
Oh, no, I can't deal with that, no.
Well, if it's out like our last penalty shootout, we were unbelievable, weren't we?
I know.
How don't have Sol Bamba though, do we?
What about you, Jamie?
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
I'm gonna have to say one each, aren't I?
You can see his face, all the veins are popping, saying, don't say it. 1-1.
Last minute force goal.
Oh, imagine the scenes there. Jack one?
God. 1-0, Borough.
He's on the Jaeger already.
Who's scoring?
This will say I'm on the Jaeger. Dale Fry.
He's had three Jaegers.
Dale Fry. I'll tell you what, I've actually put Rodgers 1-0 in a little bet for me today, and it was, I think, 191. I've also gone Force 2-1, which is 260. Fry 1-0 will be about 325-1.
Well,
I hope it happens.
I'll reliably let people know tomorrow. I'll put
Chelsea not to score would be unbelievable. But Chelsea not to score, let's be honest. The odds should be massive.
Oh, they'll be massive.
Well, 2 out of 5 experts have picked Chelsea not to score. So.
Experts.
Which experts? Where are they?
I was going to say, where are you looking?
Me and Jacko, did.
But I'll put it out tomorrow. I'll put them on. I'll put tomorrow because obviously I'll put the first leg on as well. So a bit of superstition in that. But all I ask of them 11 players that go on that pitch tomorrow is just give absolutely everything. Give absolutely everything, because us behind that goal, was it 4,500 of us that are going down tomorrow night, won't be able to speak by the time we get out of there. They say we're going to give absolutely everything. It's going to be some atmosphere, it's going to be some occasion, and you know, all the fans travelling down and all the fans that are in London themselves, obviously we've got, you know, got supporters based down there, they've got tickets as well. We've got, go on.
Not every fan that goes there will think we're going to do it, but every single fan associated with this football club will think we can do it.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps us thinking.
It's just come down to that magic word, doesn't it? Belief. If you've got a bit of belief. Go on. Well.
The thing is, if we go on quality alone, you know, we're sort of without a sight down, you know, that Chelsea are way ahead of us. So we've got to overcome their quality by our graft and our determination, and like I say, our spirit, and we can do that. We showed that in the first leg. We can do that, and we'll have a sold out shed end shouting the team on. I can't wait.
I know. I say what we lack in quality and, you know, squad depth that maybe Chelsea do have. I know they've got injuries, etc. Well, we won't lack in passion and and belief and commitment and effort. And that's all I ask.
I think it's important to keep them quiet the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, yeah, because if they don't get an early goal, I think their fans will turn anyway. And the Middlesbrough fans, I guarantee, will outsing the Chelsea fans. No doubt about that, regardless of win, lose, or draw.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think if we can just keep it quiet for the first 15 minutes, and there's a huge pressure on Pochettino and Chelsea to reach this cup final. And if they're not winning in the first 20 minutes, that pressure will rise. So it's really important for Middlesbrough to start the game solid, be difficult to break down, like what Rotherham were funny enough on Saturday against us, in quieting the crowd. And if we can do that, you never know.
Exactly, you never know.
100%.
Yeah, just give everything, and we'll do exactly the same behind that goal. Just give everything. All the fans at home, wherever you're going to watch it, just give everything. Yeah, we've got a little club to be proud of at the moment, and
tell you what they should have done. Let us
ride that wave.
They should have given Leo a ticket and got him in the middle of it. That would have been funny.
Can you imagine him in the middle of that way and if we scored?
He would have been on the pitch. Not that I'm advocating going on the pitch, by the way.
No.
Absolutely
but,
not.
But just give us.
I'd rather have Leo in the middle of the Matthew Harden stand. scattering him Chelsea left, right and centre. I think that would be better.
Going after the flat caps, that'd be something else.
To be fair, he wouldn't be daunted by that, would
he? Wouldn't
at all.
But, right, I'll leave it there. Right, gentlemen, thank you very much for popping in. Rare occasion again, as usual. Thank you very much for coming in. Gentlemen, thank you for popping on online to chat. John Don, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, no worries.
Not bright and early. Bit of a sleep in, I can't wait. But thank you very much for listening and commenting, liking and subscribing and keeping us going. And yeah, enjoy the game tomorrow. It's not going to be an easy watch. I'm going to tell you now, it's not going to be easy, but just have a bit of belief, a bit of hope, and I think we can, something special might just happen. So, yeah.
Yeah, keep the faith.
Come on, up the Borough.
A full Parmore. Up the Borough.
Full Parmore.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers. Cheers, boys.